You try to laugh your way through this life, but you're not gaining ground. Why not try the Lord today? Just ask Him in your heart to stay, and you'll find Jesus' love to be the greatest thing that you've ever found. Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, He got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm free and glad. 'Cause Jesus got a hold of my life, and He won't let me go. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. If the brothers could bring up that next song, I've got so much to thank Him for. Key of E flat. When I look around and see the good things He's done for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. But His blessings He freely gives, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for, 'cause I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Sometimes while on this way I kneel and stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. And one day I'll reach heaven sure, oh please just let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for, and I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank it. Let's sing that last verse once again. When sometimes while on this way I kneel and stop and say, Lord, thank You for all You've done for me. And one day I'll reach sweet heaven sure, oh please just let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. Just let Him know, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Just tell Him one more time. Let's sing that chorus. And I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. from me, from I've got so much to thank him for. Just thank him. Give him a little clap of praise this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't just thank him for the good times. We thank him for the bad times. We thank him for the middle times, you know. Every time we be thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. It was requested that the group sing, the adult group sing, so I'm going to ask them to come up at this time. We're going to sing the song we sang yesterday.
Said I won't go tell nobody, but I
keep it to myself.
No, I'm
You know, maybe some of us, maybe it wasn't like that for us, but hey, the key point is being born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the key thing. Praise God. Yes, Brother Colley, could you help us take up our offering, please? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing that song, At the Cross. I didn't write the word. At the Cross, key of F, page 146.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Well, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, in love. Saw the light and the burdens of my heart he rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin? Well, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. One more time, sing that chorus. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart he rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At the cross. Amen. That was one of the first songs I learned when I came to the Lord at 12 years old.
in the Baptist church at the cross. I let Brother Wade know, so he told me to take a few minutes just right before he comes out. But I wanted to give a follow-up, a testimony about something that I talked about on Wednesday at I'm holding it. All right. The brother Eric, who we helped buy new tires for his truck, and we call his truck a miracle truck. I mean, that truck, you know, it's a 1997 truck, and he still tries to run it and everything. I mean, he has no money to buy something else, so he tries to do with what he's got, you know, in his ministry. Well, on the 31st of December, I was ministering at his church, and that was the day that it was the my wife and my anniversary. After I ministered at his church that night, he went to take some brethren back to their home, and before he left, he checked his oil light came on his truck, and he wanted me to tell you all this because this was for the glory of God. His oil light came on his truck, and he looked at the oil stick, and there was no oil whatsoever in the car. Nothing at all. I mean, he says, I know there was nothing. And so the brother that was there, I still stayed back at the church. Me, my wife and my family, we stayed back at the church with everybody else. He said, let me take these brethren home. And the brother that was with him, he said, let's just drive up to my house. I got about a quart of oil there in my house that you can put in there. That may be enough to take you back home. And the drive from his church to his house, it's about an hour drive. So he said, okay. So they went and they put the oil in, and so he went back to pick us up from the church, from the brother's sister's house that we were waiting for him at. So he told me, he said, Brother Luis, listen, my oil light came on. There was no oil in there, but thank God, you know, that the brother had a quarter of oil. He said, that might be enough. We're not sure. He said, but why don't we just pray? Let's just pray. And say, Lord, refill. So we prayed and we asked the Lord. We said, Lord, even if you have to, just fill this car up with new oil if you have to, right? So we got home that night, and he did the little surprise party for us because he wanted to rush because they had that going for us as well. And Bella was all in it and she didn't even tell us and everything. So the next day is when we had to leave, to go back to Nicaragua. And Brother Eric said that that was the first, but then on the second, he needed to leave back, again, use the truck. But before he went wherever he needed to go, he said, I'm going to stop by the mechanic first about this oil thing. We'll see where the oil is leaking. So he went. Before he does that, he always has to fill his radiator with water before he leaves, because he's always constantly having problems with his radiator. So he filled it up with water, and he checked the oil stick. And he said, Brother Luis, God is my witness, that oil stick was filled to where the top was at. He said, I know the brother only had just a little bit of oil that he put in there. So he said, well, let me do this. I'm still going to take it to the mechanic. The mechanic looked at it. He said, sir, he said, that car is full of oil and there's no leak anywhere whatsoever. And he said, maybe it was an electricity problem. You know, the oil light came on and it was an electricity problem. He took it to the electrician, there, and he looked at it and he said, listen, if the oil light came on in that truck, you know, that means there was no oil in the car. And he said, Brother Luis, God answered our prayer that night. He filled that car up with oil, and I don't even know. We only put just a little tiny bit in there. And so he wanted to let the church know that because, you know, he thought it was outstanding. He said, my goodness, I know him. I know he's still the same yesterday, today. He cares about our bodies just as much as he cares about anything, you know, that you need to use for his glory. Amen. And that's not the only first time I've seen, you know, God working mechanically on a car, you know. He can do it. So he just wanted me to tell that for his glory. Amen. And also he wanted me to mention that a lot of the people, when you saw some of the pictures there, there's people around his community that are new people that are coming into the church from just around town. Well, he's got a lady that wants to be baptized, and then somebody else that came to the Lord. So after we had left, so who knows? You know, we just plant the seed, and then the Lord takes care of the rest. Amen. Praise God. So we just thank him for that. Amen. So we're going to have Brother Wade come, and let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Let's stand to our feet. I feel like I'm missing something. Is there anything else? Okay. All right.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. To see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Power and love, we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. You love him today.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hands. Say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Brother Matthew Bray says, too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. Too predestinated to be hated. I like it. While we're standing, turn around and look at a sister and tell her, thank you. Tell the sisters, thank you. And let's give them a great big hand. One of the sisters from another church, she said, how do y'all do it with such a big, we had 122 people here yesterday and fed them all and you know what, we'll see what we had left over. So sister asked me, she said, how do y'all do this? And I said, we're not an organization, but we are an organism. Even Brother Brown talks of us being, we are an organism. An organism has to work together, and that's what we did. We were an organism. We all worked together, and you see how it works when everybody works together. It works out great. So, food was good, preaching was good, fellowship was good. I'm getting to that. Next, turn and look at a brother. I got that right here on my note. Turn around, look at the brother and thank the brother, especially our young people, for helping, putting stuff up, taking stuff down. It was a group effort, an organism. So now, is there anything else, Sister June, that I need to talk about? Uh-huh. The fathers took care of the babies while the mothers did some work and give them a hand too. And the food was outstanding. I mean, it was like real good. And may I help clean up? And it just worked out really well. Amen. So for those of you that weren't here yesterday, you missed a good fellowship meeting. So, and I know we can't be here to everyone. These are not required functions, but it is good to get with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation. But we're going to start Revelation 6, 1. I'm going to read through some of the seals. And also, some of you got this book. Most of us all did. Now, the purpose of this book is, it is a study book done by a good brother of ours, Brother Trevor Edmond. He's from Jeffersonville, and he's been here a few times before. But he compiled this book. Brother Dale looked over it, and I looked through it, and it's with Brother Dale doing the church ages, starting into the church ages, if he ever gets in them, starting in the church ages. It's a study for every church age. So take it home, get with your wife, get with your children, and study. Brother Joe said he's still got a few people, maybe that are not here, but if you're here and you got one, you need to see Brother Joe so he can give them to you and you can start in them. But it's really, it's done extremely well and very professional. So, it's a good study guide. Go home, listen to the seals, and take the little test in here. It's good to help you jog the old memory. So, thank Brother Joe Canada for bringing that to our attention. I was thinking yesterday, all of our young guys, they're so sharp, and all of us are getting so dull till we need the sharp ones. I mean, listen to me. You can have dull knives in a drawer, but you got to have some sharp ones. Dull knives are for butter and stuff like that, and sharp knives are for steak, so you need them both. Let's not throw the knives away that are not as sharp as they used to be. So, but it's good to have young people in here to look at these things and bring it to our attention and you know, get approval and then do it in the right channel, and doing it in the right channel makes everything. It's an organism. So, but I thank them for doing that for us, the younger guys being able to find these things for us. So Revelation 6, I'm just going to read through the seals, and then we'll get down to number 6. Now, the sixth seal is going to be, we're going to cover the sixth seal, and then we're going to cover, there is a thing called an interval between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. We'll cover that. I believe we need to cover it extensively because I think it's very important for us to see what God's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. But it's like Brother Dale said, and it's very true. This Bible was compiled. You know, I was thinking, did you catch what Brother Dale was preaching? Because remember, Paul wrote part of the Bible. But Irenaeus didn't. Irenaeus did not actually, listen, I don't know that he actually read his church age in the book of Revelation. Because John didn't write it until AD 96. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is Irenaeus didn't stand up and say, now God told us this is the way we're supposed to act. No, they acted that way because God knew they were going to act that way. And he put it in the Bible for John to write and for us to reflect on. You see what I'm saying? Irenaeus didn't turn over to the book of Revelations. There was no book of Revelations when Irenaeus was preaching, and when the people of the second church age, the Smyrna church age, when they come to be, this wasn't written in a book somewhere for them to read it. But they did live it out just exactly what God saw, because why? He was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with his quality in each church age. At different qualities. God's a God of variety. He used all those. It's like we were talking about this morning. God uses fingers, toes, hands, feet. Everything's all important. We're all important in the body of Christ. Everybody is important. So let's bow our heads and we get started on the sixth seal. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with us now. You be the one that does the speaking, Lord. You be the one that does the revealing, because without you, Lord, we're nothing. You have sent us the greatest message on the face of this earth to the greatest people on the face of the earth. So, Lord, I pray that we would activate that faith that we have in this church age, Lord, that we were told that it was almost total darkness, but there is a little bit of light shining in Goshen. Father, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we just got news that a family friend of ours' wife passed away last night. Just be with the Charles Turk family. They're just young people, Lord, and I pray that you'd just be with that family and touch them and give them comfort, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Be with the ones, Lord, in the foreign fields. Bless the missionaries, Lord. Give them fruit for their labor. Bless us today and keep us in Jesus' name. We ask all these things. Amen. All right, let's just read through the seals, and then we'll be seated, and then we'll get started. Good to see Sister Milka and the young men with us, Benjamin and Michael. Benjamin, smile. Thank you. Good to have them with us today. Man, I've always told you, she's my idol. Single mama raised kids, bless her heart. That's what I mean. She's done a good job. I mean, she knows. I've told her that many times before. Revelation 6, verse 1. She's an inspiration. There's people in your life that are inspiration. She's an inspiration to me. Even though me and Jim are not a single parent, but she's an inspiration for any other single parent that says, I can't do this. Well, talk to Milka. She can tell you how to do it. Number one, you put God first. And put a smile on your face that no one can take off, right? Amen? Man, I tell you, I'm going to tell you this story before I do, but Melko, me and Jim were going, where were we? We were in Miami? We were in Miami or somewhere, and you were helping us. She was, working in the, checking to see. We were flying standby, and she'd send us a message. Looks like you're going to get on this flight. Nope, doesn't look like you're going to get on that one. Yep, look like you're going to get on this one. Nope, don't look like you're going to get on this one. She's back and forth, and she was sweating as much as we were, so. But thank God she was there, at least letting us know we weren't going to get on the flight, which we didn't. We spent the night in Miami Airport. No thanks to her. It's okay. If your face would be red, it'd be red now, wouldn't it? And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The reason I'm reading this, I want to bring it back to your memory. Because you know what? Subliminally inside your brain, you are thinking about what's been preached before. Whether you are thinking, there's no way you can think it through that fast, but each seal comes up and you're like, okay, that's justification. Okay, that's sanctification. Okay, that's the Holy Ghost. Okay. And I heard, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. I beheld a little black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. See, thou hurt not the oil and the wine, the Holy Ghost and the stimulation. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, this is one we just got finished with, I saw under the altar the souls. Immediately, you know we're in another dimension now because there's no other beast. The beast powers are gone, and they're not here anymore on this fifth seal. All right. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, now see that's going to tie in with this next seal coming up, should be fulfilled. And I beheld. Now watch. Because watch what John says. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, number one, and when he had opened the second seal, and when, I'm reading it here in verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, and when he had opened the fourth seal, and when he had opened the fifth seal. Now, John changes his wording. He changes his wording on this seal. He says, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal. He's bringing it down to right here. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Why? Because what happened, John, watch what I'm saying. John saw people, persons, the first seal, whether it was a whoever he saw a man sitting on a horse. Right? Second seal, he saw a man sitting on a horse. Third seal, he saw a man sitting on a horse. Fourth seal, he saw a man sitting on a horse. Fifth seal, he sees people. Souls under the altar. Here he doesn't. He goes into nature. All right? Everybody see that? Say amen. Amen. And when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. No people. Happenings, events, nature. All right? Is everybody okay with that? And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. This was a long, long one, but we got to cover it. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now he comes. He's not talking to the bride. He's talking about people that are now on the earth. During this, he sees this first, and then he comes up, and here pops up, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men. Now that's all people that are left on the earth. That's not the bride. We already gone up on the fourth seal. All right. So we're not here in the fifth. The fifth seal is not the bride. This sixth seal is, that's not the bride. Amen. And the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Who shall be able to stand? Amen. Well, that's not us. That's not even the fifth seal Jew. That's not the 144,000. That's the kings and natural men of the earth. Is that all right? Say amen. All right, that's the natural kings of the earth. So listen, this seal, in its, thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Danny. This seal starts out with John looking at nature. John looking at something that's going on the earth after the rapture. Amen. After the church is gone, the fifth seal Jew is not standing there literally, right? Amen. Fifth seal Jew's not there in the, he's looking actually in this dimension that we're talking about. This is our dimension. He's back on the earth. He's talking about earthquakes happening right here on the earth. Is everybody all right with that? Cause that's where you see, we got to bring this sixth seal in. As being something that happens to nature. Something that happens to a natural world. We've been talking, now the first seal, sure it had a natural meaning, but it also had a spiritual meaning too. Because there's always two powers, God's power and Satan's power. When you see a horse rider, when you see a man get on a horse and ride through the first few church ages, as we were discussing a long time ago, over a year ago now when we started, we saw that that was a power in opposition to what had already been there. Because remember, God is the originator. Satan is not the originator of anything. He's a perverter of what's already original. So there were men on the earth in the first church age preaching the truth of the gospel. Then Satan comes in and perverts what God's already doing. All right, so that was your seals that we were talking about, the seal one through three is the first, two, three. Everybody okay with that? We know where we're at. We've been here. We don't want to background too much, but this is church age one, two, three is showing the first seal. Second seal is the fourth church age, which is the red horse. Black horse was during Martin Luther and John Wesley. And the fourth seal has to be in this age because we take a rapture after the fourth seal. So the fourth seal happens. I mean, the rapture happens on the fourth seal. So we go up. So this is all bride. I mean, the bride just vacates the building. We're gone. We're not even in this dimension. All right. Then you bring a fifth seal Jew, which is in another dimension. They were in this dimension, but they were killed. So they're in another dimension that John looks in that dimension. But as I told you before, maybe we got it, maybe we didn't, maybe we'll have to go back over it again. But when you come to these first four, we look at these first four seals, and I want you to see this. We have actively been involved with all those seals. Actively been involved. Which is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Word made manifest. Or we can look back through the book, through what Brother Dale's going to start on the church ages. We can look in the church age book, and Brother Branham gives us a history of every one of the church ages and what happened all the way up to here. So we have been actively participating in all these. Because this is your redemption. This is the bride's, this is our revival right here. We're in our own, but this was the revival coming out of what? Calvary, where Christ divorced the Jews, divorced Israel in the Old Testament, and married a Gentile bride. I was thinking today, do you know you cannot have a bride without a groom? Because you say, I'm the bride of. If there's no groom, you can't say you're a bride. No, you may be betrothed and you may be going with somebody, what we call used to call going steady. You know, we swapped numbers, phone numbers back then. You know, that was us going steady or going out or going with somebody. But when June and I were setting a marriage date, she then became what? Potentially she became my bride. But now listen, she can't be a bride without a groom. But a groom can't be a groom without a bride. Think of that. God is not complete without me and you. God, He didn't just have to have a bride. He wanted a bride. And you know what? He didn't want to divorce Israel. But listen, I was telling the Sunday school downstairs this morning. During Moses' life, we see the commentary of Moses because obviously it's after the fact. But God knew every step he'd make. Every time he'd fall, every time he'd get up, every time he'd do good, every time he'd do bad, God saw every bit of it, but Moses didn't. Moses had to live through what God had already saw. You and I have to live through these church ages and thank God for a prophet that went back and told us every church age, what happened, connected it to a city, connected it to a star. Because remember, when Brother Dale got to those seven stars, the seven stars are the seven messengers. And we put a lot on the messenger. It's the message. It's the message behind the messenger. Amen. It's the message that God is using that conduit of Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Paul, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham, a conduit to use so that you and I, what did I say last Sunday? Who's going to take a rapture? Who's going to take a body change? So it's personal. You're not going to take a body change because Brother Dale does. You're going to take a body change because you come to a place that you say, I and my Father are one. Amen? That makes it real personal. Jesus walked up one day and he didn't say, now if you'll say, thus saith the Lord, that mountain will move. Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. He was the Lord. So now you and I have to live in the age of thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham said the bride would have thus saith the Lord or she'd be still. He didn't say she'd have thus saith the Lord and that was it. Because Brother Branham said, when you begin to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, the shuck will pull away. See, a lot of people cannot swallow that you're God. without having to go through Brother Branham. Isn't it the truth? It's like Brother Forney was talking yesterday or preaching yesterday. It's Jesus Christ is who we got to have. He, Brother Branham can't change your body. Brother Dale can't change your body. But if you say, I am, it's going to change your body. Amen. And you say, okay, who's going to change your body? Amen. That's why I said we're a lot to-ness. It's either God and us. And then like somebody said, oh, Brother Ernie said, then it's got God, Brother Branham, and us. That makes us a Trinity again. And not, you know, listen, and I think we say it kind of hard here because of all the, but Brother Forney said it last night. It's William Branham cannot change your body. Now he brought us a word that we can look to and clear back all the stuff, because even we were talking about this morning, Brother Luis, mentioned the quote. Things broke. We're going to take a body change, folks. It's going to be Jesus Christ that's going to change our body. No one has come to immortality except that one man. No one. So him in you will bring a body change. Amen? And it's trusting in the word that's already been wrote. When Jesus said it was finished at Calvary, he needed nothing else. Brother Branham said if Jesus Christ were to come and stand right here tonight in a three-piece suit, he cannot heal you or save you. All he could say is, I've already done it. That's all he could say. I've already done it. So when we come to these seals, you say, well, they open or they close, the big debate. Well, if you don't believe them, they're closed. If you believe them and live them, they're open. Amen? And what a great thing that a prophet brought us all these messages, and we were able to collect them in tape and book form, and able to know that he's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He's talking about, it does us no good to realize Brother Branham was at the headstone. Doesn't make you no big thing if you realize Brother Dale come to the headstone. You got to put yourself in the picture. What are we doing? We're diverting our faith to, if it's like I told Brother Homer last night, listen, sit down and think for a little while. We're all a bunch of Catholics. Brother Brown's going to come back and save us all. Well, no, he's not. He didn't save nobody. Well, if Brother Dale comes to this place, we're going to... Who's going to take a rapture? Who's going to take a body change? All right, well, then it's God in you. It says in the Bible, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And to me, Christ is the seals. Because what is this? This is the plan of redemption. All right, so we've become intimate with these first four seals because that is, if you're born again today and you're breathing, if you're born again and you're breathing,
right.
You're going higher in God.
Come on,
okay? I said if you're born again and breathing,
right.
In that order, you can be breathing and not born again. But if you're breathing and born again and you come and sit under the spout that you've been given, something's got to happen.
Right.
Something, there has got to be a growth or you just don't have it. Something's got to be inside you going, I need some more of that.
Yeah.
I need some more of that. See, I need some more. You say, well, the fourth seal, we take a rapture. What else do we need? We got to understand how this guy gets changed.
That's right.
Because up here, when we looked at this seal 1 through 4, who was it? Somebody said, you're going to hate me for this. But people have been born again, never heard of William Branham. People have been born again, never heard of the seals. But people have never been born again and not heard of Jesus Christ. So let's put that in the bottom line. Never has a man got born again without knowing Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Now then, what's he going to do? Like Brother Forney said, the Holy Ghost is what? Going to turn you and lead you and guide you into all truth. All right? So you get born again first. But our commission, think about this, our commission today is to take a body change. That's our commission. That's my commission. And you know, do the same thing. Go to pointing like this. It's your commission to take a body change. But we're waiting on Brother Dale to preach it so we can't. Jesus has already preached it. Hey, listen. Jesus has already preached the seals. He's already died. He's already had a resurrection. He's already had glorification, a glorified body. And he's already ascended somewhere. We know where it is, but I'm just telling you. Somewhere, right? What's he waiting on? Waiting on who? I am. To realize that the I am is not back there. And I like what Brother, again, what Brother Jason Watkins, most people that are in a denomination, and this is true, you think about when you come up, you are getting, maybe not born again, but saved by a historic God. Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Yeah, but what about the day of Pentecost when he come back? And what about when you were sitting in an old church somewhere and some preacher with the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart? That's not a dead man talking to you. That's a live man talking to you. That's live God speaking through a man to you. And then that what? That bursts you into the body. Amen? But the Bible says being born again. So we have to come through these four seals. But we have to, like I said before, we have to lap them back and put 5, 6. And actually, I'm going to put 7 over here just for a... because there's a gap right here. A pretty good one, too. But we'll get into that later on. I don't want to get into that today. But you see that? There's a gap. You read 6 seals, there's a gap. You read 6 trumpets, there's a gap. You read all these different ones after 6, there's a gap. Even Brother Branham preached 6 seals, and what did he do? He stopped and had questions and answers, and then he preached the 7th seal. Always a gap. Somewhere in there, there's a gap between 6 and 7. All right, so, and we'll discuss that because I believe I kind of understand what's going on with that. But seal number 5 was what? It's not just justification in a baby form. It's a justified group of people that never sinned. And you got to realize that. You don't just, it's been hearsay for so many years. Oh, we're coming to something. Oh, we're coming to something. Well, is the I am coming to something? And I am is an ever present. And even at the burning bush, God got Moses' attention with the bush burning. But when he said, who are you? He said, he didn't say, just say I am. He said, I am that I am. He's saying, I'm that one that you've been looking for. I am that I am. Not that I am that I am. He's not double saying himself. He's telling him, I am that I am. That I am. What? Jesus, when he come on earth, he said, I'm what? I'm the sheep, I'm the shepherd. I'm the sheepfold. I'm the door. I'm the root. I'm the offspring. He named everything he was. You know what he was saying? I am that I am. Let me just put it in Georgia language. I am. And that's what I am. I am, I am. That's I am. I am. And he was identifying himself, who he was. Now you and I gotta do the same thing. Well, yeah, we know he was. Yeah. We're kicking it back. No, that's an I was.
Come on, brother.
And that's an I'm gonna be. This is an I am. This right here is the I am. Amen? So the 5th seal shows us a group of people that were saved or born again, not born again, but given white robes, I guess you can say saved, given white robes for nothing they did. Nothing. But because God blinded his own children's eyes at Calvary, divorced Israel, took a Gentile bride, he said, I'm going to save that group of people.
Right.
You know what he done? He's done the same thing to you. Amen. He said the seventh church age is the worst church age. There is no light. There's no light. But now, Brother Brown said, I drew a little light in there. Why? There's got to be a born-again group. There's got to be, like Brother Forney said, where there's light, there's blood. I like that was good yesterday for the short length of time he preached. That was really good. But where there's light, they had to see to be able to put the blood over the doorpost. They had to be able to see where to put the thing. They had to be able. How many of you have tried to cook in the dark? That's like Brother Forney said, I don't want to eat your food. Is that something moving, he said? You know, but if light's on it, you can see. How many of your sisters put the blindfold on and cook? You can't do that. You cut your finger off or some ingredient's not going to get there. What'd he say? Castor oil instead of, castor oil instead of vegetable oil. Boy, that would be a revelation. Whew, man. But that's what it would be. So without light coming, and like I said, without light coming in the end time, listen, you're born again today. You're light. You're the light of this church age. You're the light of God for the age that you were born in. But this light is not going to be dimmed. Our light's not. Now the world is. But our light's never going to be dimmed. God's light's never dimmed down. Oh, please, come on, people. That would make God become weak and then stronger. And weak. No, man, his light has been, when God said, let there be light, that light has never been put out. Of course, we know that's not the sun and the moon. We know that, don't we? Because they were created a little bit later than that. That light was me and you. Because Jesus, when he came and said, I am the light of the world, you were in him. And he said, then you're going to be the light. You're going to be the light to the first church age, the second church age, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. All right? That all right? Say amen.
Amen.
You are the light of the world. Who's the light of the world?
I am.
Good job. Man, good class today. Good class today. So you know what? Subliminally. Now that would mean in your subconscious mind, we know we took a body change right here. But now the fourth seal didn't explain how. But subliminally. Now we're going to look with this. The reason I'm bringing that word in because in the sixth seal. Now the fifth seal is pretty cut and dry. It shows a group of people that was given eternal life that didn't want it. And that you and me. But it also is showing me too and you that God's going to save a group of people regardless of anything. Like Brother Forney said yesterday, when that body change comes and when that revelation comes, it's going to roll right into a rapture. You can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. It's going to roll you right into the wedding supper. It's going to roll you right into the future home. It's going to the millennium. Roll you right into the future. You can't miss it. Those who is glory. Somebody said that today, didn't they? Those who is glory justified, he's already. Those who he justified, right here. He's already glorified. Now, who's the only person that's been glorified? The seventh seal. Who's the seventh seal? Jesus Christ. He's standing today in a glorified body. No one else is. Or the Bible's wrong when it said what? Only one man has reached immortality. Right? And that's Jesus Christ. He was once a mortal and now he's immortal. No one else is that way. You can explain any other way you want to about Elijah and all these other people. I'm going by what the Bible said.
Right.
Bible said the only one person reached immortality and that's Jesus Christ. In other words, he was a mortal. Now he's immortal.
Right.
You know, you could, Brother Dale was reading something this morning, but Lazarus could step up and say, oh, if you read Revelation 1 in there where he says, I was dead, now I'm alive.
Right.
I'm alive forevermore. Lazarus could have said part of that scripture. I was dead. Now I'm alive. But he died again. Anybody's been resurrected from the dead has died again. So they can't say I'm dead and alive forevermore. Only one man can say that. That's Jesus Christ. Now that's the man we got to get here to change your body. Amen. That's the man we got to get here. No other man, no other church age messenger, no other prophet, priest, or king has reached this except one man, and that's Jesus Christ. And he has already told us how to do it. We just got to believe it. So the fifth seal, we got finished with it. Now the sixth seal, the reason I said subliminally, because under the sixth seal, there's going to be some things that we're going to have to touch on. Like Brother Branham, remember, he preached the sixth seal. And then he says, we're going to preach the trumpets. Remember? Seven, not the feast of the trumpets. He preached that, but he was going to take each trumpet, one right after the other, right? Going to get to school, going to get all these things and do that. And then what did he do? He said, I had a hard time with that. Any of you preached a sermon, any of you ministers, you're like Elisha. You want to plow in that field right there. And you feel like you bumped into that row and here you go and all of a sudden, your mule ain't moving. Right? Right, Brother Bob? Right, Brother Aaron? Some of you, Brother Luis, Brother Dale, all of you, Brother Larry, some of you. You want to go this way so bad. And you about bloody that mule's mouth trying to get it to change. It ain't going to change. Why? God wants something else done. So that's the way he was with Brother Brown. Brother Brown, remember, you got to remember, he said, I was going to preach him. He said, I didn't feel right. Something didn't come. He kept saying, something's wrong. And then God revealed to him, after he had already preached the sixth seal, he said, you preached them supernaturally under the sixth seal. So he was preaching two messages in one. That's what he said. He was preaching the trumpets under the sixth seal. Now then he comes and preached the feast of the trumpets. That's a little bit different because that's the feast of the trumpets besides 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And even if you're reading your Bible, trumpet 1 through 6, there's an interval. Then the seventh trumpet. All right, so you can see there's an interval to that too. So subliminally or supernaturally, ever how you want to pronounce that, there is something going on every one of these seals, and we know what that is. That's the thunder. That's the voice of God speaking to you. I can stand up here and I can give you a dissertation for hours. Hours. We've been at it a year. February is when I started last year on the seals. We've been a year. We're just on number 6. I mean, we're starting on number 6. But you see how this word of God's eternal. But you cover what you can, but you with the Holy Ghost have got to fill in the gap.
Right.
You fill in the love letter. Cause you know what? It's not a love letter to me. It's a love letter to the I Am. Hey, that's pretty good. From the I Am to the I Am. You know what? That ain't hearsay. Hearsay is when you go from one person to another individual. But when that same person is speaking to you. That all right? Say amen. All right. So that's how we're going to set this sixth seal up. We're going to go through the natural part of the seal just for a minute. We're going to close in just a few minutes. If you'll look on your paper, you don't have a bunch to read. But we've come to the fifth seal where we see purely justification, grace. That's the grace seal of the Bible, Brother Brown said. Now we've come to the sixth seal, which we're going to read in a minute. Brother Brown says that's the tribulation seal of the Bible. Okay, so we're going to take the natural part of the tribulation. I know we're not going to be in it, but we need to understand a few things because you know what? Your tribulation is now. It's not. Your tribulation, pray for me then. Yeah, pray. Thank you, Luis. Pray for me. Luis's wife's been gone for a week. He's had some tribulation, I'll guarantee you. Trying to keep up with two girls. I was just glad they had on the same shoe. I mean, you know, I just make sure one of them wasn't black and one wasn't red. Zoe's is right out there in the hallway, so. Let me break in here just a minute. We need to pray for Brother Homer Lungor. He's struggling. He's having a hard time. Hard time. He was telling June, he said when Sister Margie, you know, Brother Jewel was talking about her coming back, you know, in glorified condition and coming back. You know what happened when Brother Branham, though, when he went across the curtain of time, he said his first wife came and said, my precious brother, and hugged his neck. He said, if Margie did that to me, I'd stop her and go, no, no, no. You're mine. You're mine. He misses that woman, I'm telling you. He misses her bad. So we need to pray for him. What's the two or one? Amen. The two or one. He's struggling. He's okay, but you know what? He was married for another 60 years, and now she's not there. So let's pray for him. We're still humans. We got human things we have to deal with. You don't know why God took her, but you know what? I don't question. He doesn't either. He doesn't question God. He questions himself a lot, but he doesn't question God. All right, so let's read right here just a few minutes, and then we'll be done. Now, the sixth seal is the tribulation seal. So we are going to have to go through a tribulation before we get a body change. Not a natural tribulation. Not a 3.5-year tribulation. But you're going to have to go through hell on earth. So this has never happened. Look at Jesus Christ. He didn't have it wasn't easy for that man either. The devil still beat on him. Right up to Calvary. Brother Bram said that death, whatever it was, buzzer or something was buzzing around, you know, buzzing, but right at death, he says, I got you now. Well, he just didn't know what he got. Same way with me and you. He thinks he can do that to me and you, but once we come to where we're sealed in, I was thinking about, Brother Dale was talking about Job. This is the way I look at it. You and I are all earthly human people that have human jobs. We have human families. We have human thoughts in our mind. We're just human. All right? But there is, I love that song, The Lily of the Valley, because I love the phrase that says there's a wall of fire around you and you have nothing to fear. What did Elisha say to Gehazi? Gehazi, there's more for us than there are for them. And Gehazi, with no revelation, he goes, 1, 2, 10,000. Elisha said, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And it wasn't that they came. They were already there. Because Elisha, by revelation, was already seeing them. If not, he couldn't have said what he said. He said, open my servant's eyes. And then when he opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw ring of fire, angels around that servant. Well, that's the same way with me and you. When we move, God moves with us. There's a wall of fire. All he done with Job was is he let the flame down just a little bit and let Satan do what he wanted to with his life. Couldn't kill him though. God, listen, God's the only one that can kill you. Only one. Now you can die a death, but God's the only one that can allow it. Especially if you're a Christian. But I just think of a wall of fire, and then as you walk, that fire just stays with you. That's your guardian angel. That's your protection. Is that fire around you? Because what? Fire's the most, it's the most thing, it's the purifier. What? Fire is. So there's a wall of fire around me. There's nothing now to fear. He's the lily of the valley. And he's right there with you all the time. Amen? Fifth seal. Let's read this. Let's read these quotes and then we'll finish. I was just going to try to get the sixth seal. What the sixth seal is going to do is it's going to show something is going to happen in nature that's never happened before. Now listen, there was one time that God destroyed the world by nature, by water, but that wasn't nature. As far as nature being the animals and all the, you understand what I mean? He destroyed it by water. Man, this is not just water. Did y'all read that with me? It's everything else. It's, we'll get the right piece of paper. What to do with it? What is it? It's earthquakes. Sun becoming black. Moon becoming blood. Stars falling to the earth. Amen? Heavens departing as a scroll. That's never happened before. Every mountain and island were moved out of their place. A total, Brother Brown says, disruption of nature. Fifth seal. Now notice here when we come to this fifth seal. Now there's no rider goes forth. There's no beast to announce it. John just, the Lamb opened it and John saw it. There was no one there to say, now look, come and see. I just told you that. Notice no power of the living creature are there on the sixth seal. There's no beast to announce it either, in other words. And on the seventh seal, there's no beast to announce it, no power to announce it. No one does. Look, after the fourth seal, there's no announcement of any beast power from the fifth, sixth, or seventh. Not at all.
Right.
All right? Why? Because this is my revelation. We know one thing's for sure. We go up on the fourth seal, and those four combat beasts is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is inside of you. But the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal is personal. More personal than just a new birth.
Right.
You say, how personal can you be? You got to become God.
Right.
You got to become Jesus Christ.
Right.
You are Jesus Christ in your soul, but you need, he was Jesus Christ, body, spirit, and soul.
Right.
So why can't you have the Holy Ghost in your spirit? Just a question. Yeah, I'm just asking questions here. Just throwing something out there. Throwing a nugget out, let you think about it. Because we're going to cover it. I mean, really. Jesus' spirit was the Holy Spirit. He had no carnal mind. And I thought he said he came to do away with your carnal mind. See, as this thing builds, I'm telling you, as this thing builds, you've got to be able to gain more confidence in what God's already said.
Amen.
Not what he's going to say. Not that there's coming angels around us. Not that there's coming a wall of fire when we need it. No, there's a wall of fire around you all the time.
Right.
Amen. When Adam and Eve walked through the Garden of Eden, Brother Brown said they had a Holy Ghost veil on. And that kept them away because they had no carnal mind. They weren't born babies. They weren't born by sex. They were created. Hello? Isn't that what we're going back to? Because when God changes this body, it's not going to be what come out of mom and daddy anymore. We'll have a body, the Bible says, like unto his glorious body. We'll be changed in the atoms. Is that all right? Sixth seal. Number two. Look, we got guys training in the back, and that is great. I appreciate Joe and them, and they're able to sit out here. Brother Anderson, Brother Joe, was able to sit out here and enjoy the service. Now, Brother Bob, he's a different story. Anyway. Well, I'm going to tell it anyway. Bob was in the back. And I watched a service the other day of mine, and I was a little more adamant and moving around a little bit. Well, I didn't know who was running the camera, but it would be on this quote, and I'd be over here writing something. And by the time I got finished right here, he'd switch over there, and I'd be over here. And then you'd hear my voice, and I wouldn't be anywhere. I said, Bob. He said, Brother Wade, I was so caught up in what you were saying. He said, I forgot what I was doing. Which is fine. That's okay. But there's people watching that might want to see something. So I told him, I said, we need to get... I made a horrible statement. I said, well, I don't know. We might get him saved. I said, we need to find a sinner off the street and let him come in here and run the camera. He might get saved. You might want to do that. But the kids do a real good job. Not that they don't pay attention, but their mind is sharper than some of ours. But I watched that thing, and I'm like, who did? I thought, Bob said, Brother Wade, I was just froze. He said, then I'd realize I hadn't run the camera, and then he'd go. Give Bob a hand. Bob's come a long way. If we'd have said that to him 5 or 6 years ago, he'd be in the floor. Now I'm sure his hands are dripping wet, but. We're an organism. It takes all of us. All right. But But they are training some help in the back, and that's great. I love cross training, man. That means if somebody's out, somebody step right in, except for Bob. Somebody can step right in. But you know what? Some jobs you want to get fired from. You want to get fired from that job. That's good. Let's get fired from that one. All right. Let's get back to what we're talking about. This sixth seal is the tribulation period. That's what takes place. Now look, the bride's gone. Do I need to stop for a moment or what?
Can I say something?
Sure.
It's thundered in here.
Okay. Yes, it has.
Two particular times.
Okay. Just keep it.
What you said about.
Oh, about that.
About Mom.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Oh, yeah. He's entered into another dimension. That's not what I thought when I was watching the thing, though, but I was actually thinking other things that I had to repent for. But see, that's God working. That's God working. So that's okay. Right, Bob? That's right. He said, I ain't never touching that thing no more. But the sixth seal is the tribulation period. That's what takes place. But the bride's gone. You say, Brother Dale, why do we have to cover this? Brother Wade, why do we have to cover this? Because it is you. It is you. It is a disruption of your nature. It is something that God has got to do to you that He's never done to a mass group of people before. He's done it one time. Oh, yeah, there was temp. Listen, Abraham got a temporary body change. But Abraham could not say, I'm alive forevermore. No, he had seven more kids and he died. He's in the grave somewhere waiting on you and I. Okay, so this whole thing's waiting on us to come to a place. So we're going through our tribulation now. You sisters, walk through Walmart. It's a tribulation for the people that look at you and either laugh or scoff or say, why do you have to do that? Right? That's a tribulation. You have created a tribulation period because remember, the tribulation doesn't start until we leave. The real one, the natural tribulation. Why? Because you're here. God's not going to start a tribulation with His own bride inside that tribulation. No, we're going to be gone. The bride has gone, see. There's no living creature, nothing there to say it. It's just now God is not dealing with the church no more. Look. After we leave, even the sixth seal brings in 144,000, but that's not the bride. That's not the bride. Remember, he's divorced his Jewish bride. He cannot remarry her again. But they can come back as servants. Now, God is not dealing with the church no more. It's been gone. He's dealing with Israel, the 144,000. This is the other side. This is when Israel receives the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11. Remember, we are not here when they start their message. Because the anointing that comes off of us goes right over to the Jews. Two witnesses first and then 144,000 after that in 1260 days, I believe it is. Remember, Israel is a nation, God's servant nation, and when Israel is brought in, it'll be a national affair.
Amen.
Israel, the kingdom age, is where David, the son of David, sits on the throne. Now, Brother Brown's throwing that all the way to the millennium. Because remember, the millennium is not to us. The millennium is to the Jews. There was a promise. Oh, well, we know there's a promise that that we'll live 1,000 years because 1,000 years is a day, and God said the day you eat there. We know all that. But still, bottom line is to the Jews. It is a honeymoon for us. We're there to observe and, but listen, we're going to be sitting beside King David because we're his bride. Amen? Not literal David, the son of David. Jesus Christ is going to be sitting there. But those 144,000 and whoever else is there, fifth seal Jew, heathen, whoever is going to be there will know that we're not Jews. We're his Gentile bride. Because we're a many-membered body. But they're going to have tribal order. We'll read it later on. They'll have tribal order. Each one will have their tribes. Dan, Ephraim, and all those. All right. Will have their tribes. They'll have their place to live. There's a millennial temple that's got to be built. All these different things. Listen, that millennial temple does have nothing to do with me and you. But when we walk into that temple, according to Brother Branham, according to the sixfold purpose of Daniel, 70 weeks, the last one is to anoint the most holy.
Right.
It's not the Jews coming back into the temple.
Right.
It's you and I.
Amen.
Because it's us and our husband.
Amen.
It's the bride and the bridegroom. Walking into the temple, anointing the temple with what? Not sacrifices. Not badger skin. Human skin. Changed human skin. Amen? Number three, real quick. Number three. We're still on the sixth seal. We find out now, John said, I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. Then all nature was interrupted. God's been doing great things like healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, doing great works. But we find out here that nature took a tumble. Yes, all nature. Look what taken place. The earth quaked. The sun was black. The moon wouldn't give its light. And the stars shook and fell. And why everything happened, see, right at the time of the opening of this sixth seal. So you and I don't get the literal opening of the seal. It opens. Remember what Brother Brown said. The two prophets opened the seal. All right, so we're not here. But we get the spiritual implication. We get the what? The supernatural element that's underneath that seal. You and I get it. You and I have to have something happen to our body that no one has ever had happen except one man. And it's not us coming to a, like Brother Joel said, my hand's young, but the rest of me's not, you know, and I still got these back problems, but boy, I got some good hands. No, it's your total body.
Amen.
Your body's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and not a piece is going to be left off.
Right.
And why everything happened right at the time of the opening of this sixth seal, that's when it takes place right immediately after the announcement of those martyrs. Who are the martyrs? Fifth seal Jew. The martyrs had been finished. In other words, the martyrs have been given white robes. They're done. Actually, they're in a place. Hello? They're in a place. John saw them in a place. And they're there in a place until the 144,000 gets killed. That's what the Bible says. All right, now number four. Now the earthquake. Let us compare scripture now. If you got pencil and paper, I want you to do something for me. If you want to write these because less you're going to take the tape. Now I want you to read with me as you do. Compare scriptures of this great event that we will see that this great secret or mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. So he's sliding that sixth seal still in the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries. And the sixth seals all together, now I think he meant, I'm not interpolating here, but I guess I am. He's meaning six seals, because the sixth seal's not one book.
Right.
All six seals make one book.
Because
right, remember, the book of redemption is only six seals.
Right.
I'll read your quote, I've got it back there. Six seals finishes redemption, that's all we're going to talk about. To finish redemption is six seals. The seventh is just a silence in heaven for half an hour. That's all. But you got to have him here to do all the six.
Right.
All right. That's the problem. We don't have him here all the way. He's here. We're just missing something. Maybe we'll just quit missing stuff. And the sixth seal altogether is one great big book, just six scrolls rolled together, and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's how the whole earth was redemed. And that's, remember, when he talks about earth, I ain't talking about this ball. Because this earth will never get redemption until you get redemption.
Right.
In your earth.
Right.
So who's you waiting on?
I am.
Thank you. You're getting, Donnie, you're getting pretty quick, man. I figured you over there with that sunshine, we'd be saying German chocolate cake. Anyway, number five. If that is so, now, for we know that this sixth seal is the judgment seal. So anything that happens under the sixth seal is a judgment. I'm just reading what he said. It's a judgment. It's the judgment seal, exactly what it is. Now see, we've had the Antichrist ride, seen the church go, now it's finished, goes up. Then we see the martyrs, he's on the fifth seal, of them Jews back there under the altar. Now, here is the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people who are out of this tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove to you they are Jews, not Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. And the bride, we done seen the bride's gone. You can't place that anywhere else. Don't come back until the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. He means the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations. We know that. Now notice, for the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. Everybody all right with that? Say amen. Now, what's going to happen here, let's go to Matthew 24, and I want to stop here just a second. Just for a second. If you've got your Bible, if you want to turn to it, you don't have to. But what happens is, in Matthew 24, Jesus preaches the seals, right?
Right.
He preaches them right down the line till he gets to number 5, and then he stops. Because the sixth seal is Matthew 29 through 31. Look in your Bible and see if that's not true. Okay. He separated it out because I believe the sixth seal, to me, that's your body change. That's the change of your body. Right? Jesus wants you to think about it a little bit. Is that right? There's a gap. He talks about something else. Right? He talks about something else. And then he says, hey, immediately after the tribulation of those days, what? The tribulation of you getting a body change. Now, don't you think it's going to thunder and lightning and earthquake when your body gets changed, when something eternal steps into this dimension and brings a bunch of people with it? Sixth dimension people come into this dimension. Man, that's more eternal than you've ever seen on the face of this earth at one time. All right? This world's going to go into chaos. Even for 30 to 40 days, it can go into chaos. That's not going to bother you because you're going to get a body change. And you can stand right in the middle of a nuclear explosion and it will not hurt you. You can say, give me an apple while this thing blows up. Let me eat something. I mean, really? Didn't Jesus walk through a wall and say, give me some fish? Well, what's the difference in walking through a wall and standing in front of a nuclear bomb? None. We just think, oh, nuclear bomb, we'll be all... No, hey, that's all down here. That has nothing to do with what you're going to get. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Doesn't that really sound like Revelation? And then shall the sign of the Son of Man... And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven... What's the sign of the Son of Man? Resurrection. Resurrection. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Now, we're going to cover this. I just want to read this to kind of, you know, drop some breadcrumbs. All right, Revelations 11. We're going to read this because this is where the two witnesses come in, and then we'll close. Because the sixth seal is probably going to take a little while to piece it all together. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. Gentiles can go in the outer court. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. All right, that's 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years according to the 30-day calendar. Everybody got that? Say amen. We covered the 30-day calendar. Brother Branham did. That's your prophetic calendar, not 31, 30, 28, 30 days to a month. And then he topped that with you sisters. You understand 28 to 30 days. You understand the cycle of life goes through the same thing. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260, which what is 3 times 2? 6. So it's 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So they're going to preach 1,260 days. Now that's 3.5 years, not according to our calendar. That's why you can't calculate Daniel 70 weeks down to a point, because God uses his calendar of 30 days and we use 31, or the Gregorian or the Julian calendar, which is up and down. And we explained all that. Well, I don't think we did up here, but we did downstairs. The reason they have all that is, remember your 29 days in February? Because if you didn't keep counting that extra day every 4 years, summer, spring, and you'd be having winter in the middle of July. So they do that to reverse everything back. Because why? Because the earth's tilted. Now, during the millennium, I don't think the earth's going to be tilted. I think it's going to be standing straight up. Because when you and I come on this earth, we're going to be straight up. Right now, we're kind of stooped over about 30 degrees. Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it? Really? I mean, really, you know. You won't be stooped over. When you're 20, you wasn't stooped over. You stood straight on. It's like an axis. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. What is it? Two witnesses. If any man will hurt them, fire, not literal fire, they're not going to be fire-breathing dragons. What? The word. Whatever they say, it's going to happen.
Right.
Devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Wow. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, which was Elijah, 3.5 years. And have power over water to turn to blood, Moses in the Nile River, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. The whole earth. Like I said, it's not just Jerusalem and not just Israel and Syria and whatever, because you know what? Everybody's going to try to kill them two guys.
Right.
And they're just going to say, nope, that's not going to happen. You're dying. You understand what I'm saying? And when they shall have finished their testimony, I want to bring in a little thought right here. It just came to me. Now, you and I couldn't be the two witnesses. We know that, right? Because we're not Jews. But we couldn't be the two witnesses and be the bride. You wouldn't do that. If you would stand on this earth and do that to somebody, in other words, you have no brotherly kindness. You have power without character. Now, I'm not saying they don't have power without character, but it's prophesied of what they'll do. But a true bride won't do that.
Right.
So they're not bride. They're given the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they're not bride.
Right.
Amen? Right. Amen? Right. They ain't going to have time to preach the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
They're going to be perfect inside. But look, you and I can't do that. We was talking about it this morning. You got to, Paul said in Romans 11, you got to love those that hate you. Love them. You gotta agape love them, not filial love them. You gotta agape love them. It's easy for me to love Brother Collie. You're welcome. But what about somebody that hates your guts? Now, I'm supposed to love them the same identical way as I love Brother Collie. Or I have a problem with my brotherly kindness. But it's real easy for me to love Brother Collie. But what about somebody out in the street out here that's just done you wrong and done everything in the world to you? That's why Brother Brown said that fifth seal Jew could not be bride, because they're saying, avenge our blood. When are you going to kill these people? When are you going to take them out of the way, in other words? Avenge our blood. Now, you've never said that. I hope, being a Christian, you've never said, God, avenge me on somebody else. Now, that's not true. You better not do that. That's why Brother Brown said power without character. You've got the Holy Ghost even when you start. But you can't go out there and start speaking things. You might speak your boss out of existence one day. And that'd be messy. Really? I mean, really. We don't call judgment on nobody. That's why the Bible says don't judge. Sure, we're going to stand in judgment. No doubt. But that's after all this is finished. But we can't stand here and say, well, that guy cut me off. Lord, I wish you'd just flip his car over 3 or 4 times. Right? We wouldn't do that, would we? It's not like Gail said, oh, Lord. See, it wouldn't be in our character.
Right, right.
But these guys right here, somebody does something to them, they do it right back to them. Moses and Elijah. Old Testament prophets. Not born again. Sure, they get the Holy Ghost, but they're not bride. They're not, they don't have, sure, they gotta have some part of the character of God. But they, not and do this. Not and do that. They can't have brotherly kindness. And if somebody does something to them, they kill them. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, you might have thought that in your human, yeah. Right, yeah. Thank you, Brother Dick. Brother Dick says they deserved it. Well, see, that's the way we look at it. We look at, why something happened to someone. Well, they deserve that. No, not as a Christian, you don't say that. You don't say that. You have compassion. Jesus said even on the cross, they'd done nailed him to the cross and stripped his clothes off naked and pulled most of his beard out, put a crown on his head, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, that's the bride hanging there. That's not this. That's the bride hanging there. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Because what did Stephen do? Stephen was being stoned by his own brethren. That was his people that was stoning him. And he said, Father, forgive them. See, that's the Christian attitude. That's the Holy Ghost filled, born again Christian attitude is that. And then, I just wanted to bring that out because sometimes you see that and you go, man, they're really, you know, they don't have a lot of patience or something, you know, but that's their commission though. Right. It's when they come on this earth, the Holy Ghost is gone.
Right.
The only people with the Holy Ghost when we leave is them two prophets.
Right.
In the whole world. Talk about demonic powers coming in and trying to kill them. There's no bride there. There's no word to keep them. Except for two people. Out of 7 billion people. Well, see, now we've got, I'm going to just say we've got several million bride around the world. So we kind of keep a little light, Brother Larry, around the earth. But what if we're gone? Two people. In one little place called Israel. Will have the Holy Ghost. And then, which of course we know 144,000 will, but that's why the whole place is going to cave in on them. But God's got to save them until the time, I didn't read the rest of it, but what happens at the end, remember, God kind of does like he did Job. He said, I'm going to withdraw a little bit because he's going to die. They're going to die, but they're going to resurrect back up and they're going to go over another dimension. And then that's what we're going to look at in just a little while. Maybe not next Sunday. But the two prophets are that seal. Now, I'll tell you, we'll make a comment here and then we'll close. Musicians, go ahead and come. Brother Branham said when the sixth seal, I'll read it next Sunday. When the sixth seal opened, he had to get up and walk out of the room.
Right.
Something opened to that prophet that he had not seen before. That those two prophets were that seal. All right, I'm just going to leave that with you. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But he come to a realization that it takes a prophet to open a seal.
Right.
We know the prophet's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he needed an outlet or a conduit called William Branham to open the seals. Amen?
Right.
Hey, the seventh seal preached to other seals on the earth, and nobody got it. Okay? Now we had a little prophet come and he got it. And he give it to us.
Glory.
Now we got to get it.
Right.
So who's going to get it?
I am.
Man. One more time, who's going to get it?
I am.
Okay. Confession.
Right.
Let's stand. Confession. You confess. You say, oh, bro, wait, that makes... No, if you know who the real I am is, you're not saying you. The human person. You're saying you, the Holy Ghost, that you have in your soul. What are we saying, Luis? Oh, plays 98 in the spiral book. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Thank you again for what you did this weekend. We'll have, I'm sure we'll have other chances to do it again. Let's just sing this song. Just remember, before we get started, hang on a minute, Brother Luis. This sixth seal, when it opens, it's like something's never been on this earth before. But now, when it happened to Jesus, when Jesus come to a place, we know there was an earthquake. We know that the sun darkened, right? Middle of the day, sun became black. There was an earthquake. There was a lot of things happened. That was one man. But when a collective body does it, this earth has got to shake. Because we're connected to this earth, and it's got to shake. When those millions break that barrier of that dimension into this dimension, and then we're changed in a moment, there's something going to happen to this earth. But something's got to happen to this earth first. Let's sing a song.
I'm watching for the coming of that glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Sing it to him.
Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
He's here!
Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, the ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, love without a Lord, after Jesus shall come back.
Let's sing the last verse.
Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again.
You know, under the revelation that they had when they wrote this song, that's right. But we know he's not coming. He's here. And we're not waiting for him to come back to earth again. Yeah, we're waiting for the physical man, but that physical man cannot come back to this earth until he's changed your body and my body, and we go to a wedding supper. We come back to earth. See, there's that one thing with, well, when Jesus comes back, listen, you can't see him without seeing us. You can't see him without seeing us. See, that's the mystery in the end time. Is the bride is she. She is him. She is made manifest in another form called Jesus Christ. Jesus coming back will be the answer to earth's sorrowing cry for the knowledge of the Lord. We know that's all going to happen. But what about now? What about now? There's not a millennium ever going to happen until me and you take a body change. Will not happen. Cannot happen. It's like Brother Brown said, Jesus was barred from coming out of the tomb, right? By scripture. There was a bar there that said you had to be in the earth 3 days and three nights or whatever it was. Same way with me and you. Can't a millennium happen until the bride takes a body change, steps over in another dimension, lets man wipe this thing off. It'll be man's battle. That one will be man's battle. Then we'll come back into a millennium and we'll be able to just enjoy. But really, that's not our home. That's not our house. That millennium temple is not our house. That whole 1,000 years is not ours. It's an allotted piece of time for the Jews to learn what they missed. Learn about what they missed. Sure, they knew about, hey man, they know about the temple. They know what this thing is right here. But they're going to meet the person that was all about. And then they're not just going to see one person. They're going to say, oh, y'all. We say, yeah, we got the same mind he's got. If you need an answer to a question, just ask Brother Luis. He'll tell you about that temple. You ain't got to go find Jesus. We just all a bunch of little Jesuses around here. See, and then at that 1,000 years over, they're going to get a surprise. Amen? They're going to get a surprise. Satan's going to be totally destroyed. And there's going to be a city come out from somewhere. It's going to materialize on a mountain. Read your future home. I love that message. That pyramid city push, well, the mountain's going to push up. It ain't going to be a city coming up out of the ground. It's a mountain. Then the city's going to sit on top of it, which will be me and you. Now that is our home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let's sing that before we go. Brother Luis. My heavenly home is bright